1994. From out of space comes a runaway planet, hurtling between the Earth and the Moon, unleashing cosmic destruction. Man's civilization is cast in ruin. 2,000 years later, Earth is reborn. A strange new world rises from the old. A world of savagery, super science, and sorcery. But one man bursts his bonds to fight for justice. With his companions, Ookla the Mock and Princess Ariel, he pits his strength, his courage, and his fabulous sun sword against the forces of evil. He is Thundar, the Barbarian.
This is the Extra Hot Grade Podcast, episode 49 for the week of November 3rd, 2014. I am a call from the governor, David T. Cole, and I'm here with condition of your probation, Sarah D. Bunting.
Don't even think about leaving the state.
Irredeemable recidivist, Tara Ariano.
I'll never make it on the outside. Welcome to another non-time-sensitive, extra-hot, great-banked special episode, this one revolving around the Program Parole Board. This is a format that was developed for our site by our very own Sarah D. Bunting. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Originally, the idea was to just address shows that were not available in any format at all, and since then, the mandate has kind of expanded to be like shows that are not convenient to stream or shows that are hard to get your hands on or shows that are only on VHS or what have you. So,
or shows that should be rebooted like Project Greenlight. And I'm so pleased that the sort of collective unconscious Program Parole Board apparently heard me and gave us two versions of that show.
You 100% made that happen with the power of your brain and your typing fingers. So today we've each brought a couple of examples of shows that we think deserve parole, and we're going to take turns going through them. And Dave, why don't you start us out with what is your first show and what is the concept?
As you heard in the opening clip, my show is Thundar the Barbarian, the early 80s Saturday morning cartoon.
Heard of it.
As you may have gleaned from the clip, it is a post-apocalyptic story that is sort of Flash Gordon, Star Wars, you know, sword and sorcery, one big kit and caboodle all in one cartoon. Great cheesy things you miss by just hearing the audio, which is when they're talking about all the destruction. First, you see a tidal wave take out San Francisco, which, fair enough. But then you see the two giant volcanoes behind New York City explode.
Of course.
You know, those ones.
Yep.
And then 2,000 years, the Earth is reborn in sort of a Middle Earth meets cheesy sci-fi, sort of like Lord of the Flash Gordon Rings sort of feel to it. With like the lightsaber from Star Wars and a feline version of Chewbacca thrown into the mix because it was 1980.
Sure.
That's Ookla the Mock.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty cheesy, and I loved it as a kid. And as far as it's probably out there, and it's like one of those shows that I'm sure somebody's put on YouTube. So it's acquirable through methods, and maybe it even is streaming. But why I'm coming today is because I think this has great reboot potential.
Okay.
Am I following the format okay so far?
More or less.
Yes.
I mean, I was going to ask, you know, is there anyone notable in the voice cast? No one. Just probably Frank Welker doing every voice.
There's some, like writers that, like, you know, nerd people might, know about. But, you know, for us commoners, no.
Do you know why it's in jail, or is there any obvious reason why it would, other than it's too old for today's super kids?
Yeah, basically. I'm sure some shitty streaming, you know, service has the rights to it or whatever. But
So tell us why it deserves parole and what your recommendation is for it.
So it is, has the elements of a, so here's my pitch. Thundar the Barbarian has a lot of, like, storylines that were just thrown out. So it has for a show that was only on for two seasons, it's got a lot of material to work with.
Yep.
Not that you really have to be slavish to the original, but it has, like, all these factions and and alliances. Like, mm-hmm. there's this weird group of werewolves that are basically the zombies of the universe. Mm-hmm. And instead of biting you and turning you, they only really have to touch you.
Oh.
Right? And turn you into a werewolf. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I was thinking, drop the cartoon, make Thundar the Barbarian live action, and sort of rewrite it as a Walking Dead meets Game of Thrones mashup.
Mm.
Because you have that whole Westeros kind of...
the political aspect
of it. Yeah, the political aspect of it. But also you have sort of a world finding its way again. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have early political alliances. You're going to have... There's lots of kingdoms and factions in Thundar the Barbarian.
Right.
Both by race, species, and geography.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it works in the Game of Thrones way. But also you have all these fantastical monsters, like the werewolf ones I talked about. There's like a whole bunch of like animals as creatures, lizard people and mm-hmm. cat people and all this sort of stuff. So I think you could kind of go heavy into the action stuff too.
Okay.
So sort of like more of the battles from Lord of the Rings meets the political stuff from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But you have such a wide and giant canvas. And because like the world is so... throw everything to the wall and see what sticks, because there's like wizards in there and there's people with spaceships.
Sure.
It's sort of, if you remember how ridiculous the He-Man, not so much, well, the cartoon was ridiculous, but actually even more ridiculous than the He-Man cartoon was the He-Man toy line, which I know they were sort of connected, but the toy line like went places that like they never had time to do on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, yeah, what if there was a guy, he had three faces... and he would spin around depending on what his mood was. Mm-hmm. What should we call him? I forget what it was, but his name
was
like Triface.
My brother had that toy, and it was actually pretty creepy.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't... And Dave's like, yeah, I don't know. This isn't on the show. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And the Man-at-Arms is called Man-at-Arms, and maybe he has four arms or something like that. That's the kind of cheesiness that I think... Like, you take that sort of 50 sci-fi serial, that Thundar the Barbarian put into its mix,
mm-hmm.
and you carry that forward... and add the sort of serious political machinations of Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
but with all the sort of... I mean, Game of Thrones sort of has a Walking Dead element with the White Walkers, but they're sort of on the periphery of the story. So you make that action central to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like a good mix. And it's live action.
Right.
So we're talking probably, you know, a Showtime or, you know, an HBO, FX, that kind of, or AMC kind of show. So that's my recommendation.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, yeah, Showtime doesn't have a big sort of period-y, fantasy-y show like that.
Yeah.
So that would be an area that would make sense for them to get into. Who's next? Is it me?
I will go, actually, because
okay.
my proposed parolee also hurtled towards the Earth in 1994. it is ER.
Oh, heard of it.
Yeah, probably have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
The concept is an ER in Chicago and yep. the lives, loves, and weird cases that intersect with our heroes, mm-hmm. who include a little fella named George Clooney,
yep,
Juliana Margulies,
yep.
Anthony Edwards, I think was like the big name in the cast when it started.
Well, he had been in Top Gun. He was probably the most famous. Well, and Sherry Stringfield was straight off NYPD Blues.
That's right. Too. That's right. And there were a couple of other Top Gun people that strayed through there. Rick Rossovich was in the first
right.
season and a half, I think. And
yep.
then who was Tom Skerritt's second in command? Anyway, that guy.
Uh-huh.
You would recognize the voice immediately. Anyway, so that's the credits cast,
yep.
which evolved to include John Stamos et al. And notable guest stars, it is sort of like this Law and Order-y kind of thing now. And Mariska Hargitay actually had a big story arc as a Mark love interest. And she was really quite good. Like, horribly insecure Klingon type that it was quite well written and she did a great job on mm-hmm. it. So there were quite a few guest stars that were memorable. I don't really know why it's in TV jail.
It's weird. I wonder if that... I mean, I always just think, is it music rights? But I don't remember it being that music-y.
No, I don't either.
I mean,
and I don't think anyone involved is or should be particularly embarrassed
no.
about it. But I'm always like, I must be wrong. Like, it's got to be somewhere. So I checked, like, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's There's no like ER rock block. They used to do that on TNT in the morning.
Yep.
Followed by the West Wing, which was a fucking brilliant idea, and they should bring that back, like NBC powerhouses of the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
It's not on Amazon streaming. It's not on Hulu. It's not on Netflix streaming. Like it exists.
Yeah, you can get DVDs, but yeah.
Who's buying DVDs?
Exactly.
Anymore. Like, I literally just had this conversation last night that I was like, you should borrow X to my friend GeForce. And she's like, I don't have a DVD player. And I'm like, are you going to get one? She's like, what?
No, it's 2014. Of course
I'm not. Do they still make them? I'm like, I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if they're holding it back, like, similar to, because it was a huge announcement this week as we record this, that Friends is coming to Netflix. So I wonder if it's just like Warner Brothers holding out, trying to get a better deal, because it was such a big hit. I mean, it was the biggest hit for years. It was the number one show on all of television for years.
For a long time, like Quentin Tarantino directed an episode. Yeah. That's actually where I came in, because I was like, fine. Mm-hmm. I was dating a film geek and I was like, fine, I'll watch that. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely bloody. Little did I know it was always that bloody.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other possibility is that they're trying to, because it's the 20th anniversary this year, that they're waiting until like 2015, hoping that people will buy the DVD sets like for their parents.
Right.
And then they'll be like, fine, you can watch it whenever you want.
Right.
But in the meantime, I don't see why they couldn't do one or two episodes a day on like ION or the Universal Channel, which is like basically the Monk Channel.
Right.
Guess how I know that? Never mind. I kind of don't get it. I don't think it's a music rights issue or anything like that, but I would really love to revisit the show from the beginning, because especially the first like 5 years up until like Mark Brain Tumor time and helicopters and a hero falls 10,000 feet or whatever it was, like in a junkyard. It was a really good show. And even then it was like so self-serious that you could still enjoy it. And so, yeah, I strongly recommend that some ancillary, like, high in the 600s cable network in the NBC Universal family just start airing a couple episodes a day. And failing that, like, Hulu, hello.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was on NBC, so it does seem like a no-brainer. I mean, if we can get all of Quantum Leap, I don't know why this has to be so cute about it.
Yeah, this one's a baffler, and, like, every couple weeks I check, like, still nothing?
Yeah, it's weird.
All right.
Mine is kind of a weird one given how I am, but MathNet, a former PBS show that I used to love when it was on, which I never loved math. I don't know. I loved it. Did you ever watch this, Sarah?
No.
Okay. This is
But somewhere my sister-in-law is.
Oh, yeah.
She hears a ringing in her ears. And she's like, oh.
So MathNet was like, it had sort of an overarching premise, which was it was like Dragnet, but math.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was like Skynet, but math. There's a concept I can get behind.
That one is being rebooted, I'm sure. But no. They're offer detectives Frankly and Monday, and they investigate math crimes using math. And then there, you know, it's a children's television workshop show, so it also had kind of a sketch element. But anyway, the concept was, even in the late 80s, and things have only gotten worse since then, innumeracy was a big problem with teenagers as the U.S. started its decline in STEM education. Plus, tweens and teens who grew up on a steady diet of media of all kinds are increasingly inured to the earnest educational program that used to work on them when they were little. Could a show about math possibly interest these jaded dicks? Speaking as one of those jaded dicks, yes. I hated math, but I loved MathNet because it was fast and funny, more like a sketch show, like I said. It was on after school, which is when latchkey kids, would usually sneak more scandalous shows, but it was just as entertaining to me as Soap or Divorce Court or whatever else was on when there was no one else to stop me. And as I recall, there were one-off sketches, but also a serialized case that would go over the whole five-day strip each week. Which we all know from soap operas is a good way to hook viewers who have a lot of free time to devote to their stories. And maybe if it were still on, I wouldn't have almost failed algebra in grade 10. So there's the cast, the main ones, Frankly and Monday, were actors that even then I probably would have called, hey, it's that guys. And I'm not even going to say their name because that won't mean anything to you. But In the guest cast, Yardley Smith, John Michael Higgins, Wayne Knight, Weird Al, Estelle Harris, Kenneth Mars, Dick Sargent, McLean Stevenson, Marsha Wallace, Paul Dooley, Sarah.
Oh.
John Sayles, the director, weirdly, and James Earl Jones, of course. He was the captain.
Of course.
John Sayles did direct a, like, he tends to direct movies with numbers in the title, though.
Interesting.
Return
That's
of the Secaucus 7, Eight Men Out. Maybe yep. there was something about 9.
Probably. So I don't know why it would be in jail, other than someone's probably decided, much like Thundar, today's super kids are would be bored by it. But I don't, it's been so long since I've seen it that I don't know what the issue might be. And I don't think the concepts of math have probably changed that much. It's not like Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, where you can't show episodes that are about, like, you know, trying to find the USSR on a map. But right. But I imagine the determination has been made because it's, you know, the what passed for not earnest in the late 80s is super earnest now. But I would recommend if PBS isn't going to rerun it, which it's not, like, Netflix has so much kids programming that it would fit right in. I don't know why.
Should get, what's his face, who kickstarted a whole bunch of money from people thinking he was rebooting the TV series of Reading Rainbow, oh. but it turns out it was just a web thing.
Yeah.
Just tack it onto that. It's like, yeah. hey, can I take $10,000 and reboot MathNet sure. there, Jordy?
Yeah. So I think, yeah, nostalgic nerds like me might enjoy revisiting it and brushing up on our ciphering by watching it on Hulu or Netflix or another streaming service. So, yeah, mm-hmm. MathNet. I can't believe I'm the only one who watched it.
Really?
Yes, MathNet? I really can't. It was funny.
You guys want to watch The Homework Hour?
Well, Sarah used to watch dorky stuff when she was younger. I thought this might have snuck in under the wire, but I guess she
I
decided to use her.
I was too busy watching Degrassi. Sorry.
I was going to say, with your half hour of TV a week that you were allowed to use it on not
then I went
math.
To churn some butter. Sorry, didn't have time for MathNet.
All right, back up to you, Dave.
All right. Well, I have two just ones I want to mention because I think we sort of had a precursor topic in an old mini that was sort of similar to this, and mm-hmm. I know I've mentioned Beakman's World,
yes,
which is currently only available on Vudu. Like, I don't even know what the hell
no,
that is.
Whatever,
yeah,
Vudu.
Yeah, it's just not
stop
a real
trying
thing.
To make
it's,
yourself happen.
Yeah, it's like yeah, but that's the only place you can watch it right now. And Beakman's World was the thing that Bill Nye the Science Guy killed. This is why I don't like Bill Nye the Science Guy that much, because Disney came in and sort of put the boots to Beakman's World, which was much more entertaining, much more fun, and really goofy, and had a great sense of humor about itself. And Bill Nye the Science Guy was just this formulaic sort of Disney-fied thing. Mm-hmm. The other show that I've mentioned a couple times on this podcast is Connections, the science show that sort of, well, not science, pop history show that sort of takes one point in history and sort of follows the thread throughout time. So you would start off with, like, you know, a cave drawing in France, and then you follow history through and see how it is sort of like responsible for the A-bomb. I'm making right. that up, but there was that mm-hmm. sort of thing where they would go, you know, either a few hundred or a few thousand years and show things. Great series. That is not available for streaming anywhere except for some dude who put it up on YouTube, and that's sort of a pain in the ass, and it's not a great copy. Mm-hmm. So that should be out somewhere on streaming, because it is available on DVD, but who the fuck buys DVDs or anything anymore?
As we've said.
Or, you know, who or if you do, they just sit there and then you wait
right,
for it to go on streaming
thing.
Anyways.
It's true. I mean, there's so many things that, I mean, we have all of The Simpsons, and yet now that it's on FXX for, like, yeah. you know, 10 episodes in a row every other night, like, yeah. I still record them on the DVR
yep.
rather than go in the other room and get them. We're so lazy and entitled, you guys.
Yep.
It's true.
Sarah.
No, I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
Those are just my honorable mentions.
Oh, okay, sorry.
So the one that I wanted to find, and sorry, Americans, have a seat, is the Canadian show, and I think the time is, this is, I want to see the originals, but I also think this could be rebooted, because you know who's hot right now? Moms.
True.
So I want to reboot a Canadian game show called Just Like Mom. And Just Like Mom is sort of like the Newlywed Game, but for kids and their moms. So sort of like how well they know each other.
Yep.
And there's a whole bunch of rounds. So there's like question round. But the one that everybody remembers is the final round, mm-hmm. which is the cooking round, where the kids have to make chocolate chip cookies for their moms. And then their moms taste all the kids. So there's like three or four kids in each game. They have to taste each of the kids' cookies and then figure out which one was their kids.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And the ingredients that they would provide, it would be like flour, chocolate chips,
yeah, sugar,
eggs,
butter,
sugar, ketchup, vinegar, cloves, you know, Tom Collins mix. It was like everything, you know, it was all that stuff.
It seriously was.
And then, but even as a kid, I always thought, I really want to go on that show because you just like, all you have to do is mom. Because it was always the same ingredients.
Right.
Like, mom, my cookie's going to taste like ketchup and vinegar because yeah. that's all I'm going to put in it. It's not even going to be a fully formed cookie.
Mine
you're going to be drinking my cookie.
Mine is the mustardy one.
Yeah, exactly. But it was actually really goofy and kind of fun. And
hosted by Fergie Jenkins.
The prizes were, you know, so Canadian, like, you know, like, win a trip to your local ice skating rink.
Yep.
You know, an hour just by yourself or whatever.
An extra hour of daylight. Thanks, Mom.
There used to also, sorry to interrupt you, Dave, there was another Canadian game show that was called Jackpot, the one with all the cards. You had to like call on people and then be like, my clue is worth, and sometimes they were like, my clue is worth $15. Like it was the budgetest show you ever saw.
Yeah, Just Like Mom was like a national show in Canada that seemed like on the level of your local Bowling for Dollars in
yes!
America.
Totally.
Yeah. But it actually, like, I feel like, you know, with all the mom blogging stuff mm-hmm. and all like, you know, the rise of you know, it takes a village to raise a child on the internet stuff.
The advent of the channel Nick Mom.
Yeah, exactly. This could be on that. And I think you could like tweak the formula a bit. I think you have to keep the cooking one in there because mm-hmm. That was actually a lot of fun. And just like see the mom's face when they like bite into a cookie and it's full of mustard and vinegar. It's like, oh, it's the Carolina recipe. Like,
We could totally update it with who knows whose passwords.
Yeah, exactly. And there's tons of ways to do it. But I think the time is right for a reboot, but also I kind of want to see, like, the only thing I could find was a bit of an episode on YouTube, and, you know, it's all, you know, some guy's dub from, you know, VHS tape, and it's crappy, but Just Like Mom, I think the time is right, people. Make it happen.
Okay. Sarah.
I'd watch it. Mm-hmm. Speaking of moms, and also kind of the return of the Secaucus 7, which, along with the Big Chill, influenced the creation of this show. Uh-huh. I am proposing 30-somethings release.
More numbers.
Nice.
From, yeah, I know, MathNet. Math Arc. I'm not totally sure that this should be paroled, so I'm going to talk it out with you guys, and I'll see how I feel. The concept is, you know, 30-somethings struggling with work-life balance, whether you can have it all, et cetera, et cetera. This is like half of TV now.
Yeah.
But back in the 80s, this show is a subject of cultural debate constantly.
Yeah.
It was always doing something to annoy somebody, like interfaith marriage, showing two dudes in bed together.
Older woman, younger guy.
Yeah, like, you know, lady quit high-powered job to stay home with a baby, and now she's kind of over it. What does this say about us as Americans?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you think that would have been as big of a deal or as, you know, large of a debate point if they didn't name the show what they did? Like, do you think a show right now, if they did a show called Generation X right now, mm-hmm. that, like, the title purports to like speak for a whole generation, a whole group of people, that people therefore get their, you know, defenses up about everything that happens on the show. Do you think it would have been like a touchstone to the same level?
Oh, I see. You think that the title is an overreach?
Well, I think the title invites criticism
as
mouthpiece for the whole.
I think it did erect a taller lightning rod.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
then. Maybe. I mean, there's no way to know. But right. Once it was up, lightning fucking hit it, like,
right.
Every week.
I never watched this show,
like,
but
William
I was...
Sapphire column crabbing about it. So.
Yeah, because I never watched the show, but I was always aware what was happening on it. Because even, like, before the internet, you would hear about it,
yeah,
which is
it was,
saying something.
It was really, like, bloggy before blog culture.
Yeah.
It really was. The opening credits cast included Ken Olin, who is now mostly a producer and director. Mm-hmm. Melanie Marin, ditto. Mel Harris, who sometimes shows up on things. Timothy Busfield, MVP of that class, weirdly. Wouldn't have guessed that, of the ginger.
Yep.
Peter Horton, who I had a crush on when I was a kid, so that's why I watched it. Patricia Wettig, late of Brothers and Sisters. Yep. Polly Draper, and then notable guest stars included, I mean, they were notable then, Corey Parker, Terry Kinney of Oz, David Clennon, who I think reprised his role on Once and Again.
Yep. Just currently in Gone Girl. Love him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always enjoyed him. He was very rude. Like, the charge leveled at the show was that it should have been called Whiny Something, and he tended to cut through that when he wasn't weirdly hitting on Melanie Marion's character, which was always a little weird. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know why it's in TV jail. They could maybe feel like it hasn't aged well, but I feel like Parenthood, which is from most of the same creative team, no?
Some maybe? I'm not sure.
Some? I think so. I mean, a lot of that creative team went on to things like Once and Again, Relativity, which nobody else watched except me. And that's another nominee for me one day. My So-Called Life, exactly. I think that pedigree is good. I mean, some of it is dated. Like, they use landlines and VCRs. People still watch old shows and can retro-engineer their experience with it. Like, we're not stupid. We know what an actual answering machine is. Yeah. Because some of us lived during that time.
Yep.
But I don't know. I don't think it's a music rights issue because Snuffy Walden, I think, did almost all the music. There was a soundtrack to it, which I owned on a cassette. So I don't really know. I think it would do well. I think that a lot of the issues do tap into what Dave was talking about before, this sort of like anxiety that we as a culture still have about the role of family versus work, whether women can have it all, the storyline where Nancy gets cancer and is sort of, you know, working through that with their small children, and Elliot sort of, you know, being Elliot-y about it. I remember as being very affecting. I think she won a couple Emmys for that, rightly. I don't know what was going on with that little hair clip that was always like sticking off her head. Like, do you remember those twisty rollers?
Of course.
Like it was like she just left that in her hair all the time. Couldn't really understand what was going on there. But I think that maybe LMN or We or Oxygen, I mean, this would like class up the joint kind of to this, you know, disappearing degree for Oxygen, but maybe We.
What is LMN?
Lifetime Movie Network,
which is basically like Lifetime 2.
LMN's gonna rock you.
Yeah. And then OPQ, they're a really racy channel. Just kidding, but I mean, they should do that.
I think people that are our age who are like kind of too young to, you know, be really in the target demo, like, still consider this a touchstone. Someone that I follow on Twitter, Danielle Nussbaum, like, just tweeted about it this week, like, how much she loved it when she was, you know, 12. So I think I agree with you. It would do well, and it's weird that it's not around.
Maybe they're going to wait till everybody that was on the show is 60 and they have kids, and they would be like 30-something again or something.
Maybe. Yeah.
Sort of like
Grandy something.
Like Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they think just nobody cares, but it's like,
people
I was watching
care.
It when I was 14 and sort of had to, like, I had to sneak it because it was on late.
Well, and it covered, you know, dramatic stuff that was, like, not really age appropriate. I mean, not that it was dirty, but, you know.
Yeah, but not like Hope had a miscarriage, I think, and then there was, like, a several episode arc for struggling with that, and then they had this big fight where she's like, I'm relieved, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't actually want to do this again, and I was feeling really weird about it. And then they were crying, and then they wanted to have makeup sex, but they couldn't because she had just had a miscarriage. And it was like, this is pretty, like, I'm not sure they would actually go there now because there's all this, you know, stuff around everything. But yeah, I've talked myself back into it. So yay, 30 something.
Well, I'll close it up with something that's a lot less classy. My show that we'll end with is called Rags to Riches.
There's days, some class in there. I can smell it.
Nope. In the days before the internet, bear with me, people would have conversations about books or movies or shows that they kind of vaguely remembered but really had no way of proving had ever been real. And I can clearly remember the satisfaction of finding another human who remembered the show Lottery. Not the lottery that just got canceled, but Lottery that was like about a rich guy giving people money that only lasted a season, I think. But
was it like a Fantasy Island ripoff?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Or could corroborate my story about a weird TV movie with Beatles songs being performed by not the Beatles, strung together to make some kind of fucked up narrative, which was, of course, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the weird Beatles story movie starring the Bee Gees.
Frampton.
Or yes. Whoever. Maybe not even the Bee Gees.
Yeah, no, they're in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, they're in it, and Frampton and is Frampton. Billy Shears.
Right. So even though Rags to Riches aired when I was in my late teens or tweens, it was before DVRs and before I learned and controlled the family's one VCR at the time. And I'm sure I only saw a couple of episodes. No, it wasn't. We were not that early of adopters, although we rented
those from
the store.
We had those and we had a wired remote on it. It was a Quasar.
We were early adopters and late clingers. Anyways.
No, we were like, we would rent movies and then rent the VCR from the store. Do you remember that? When you could rent a VCR?
But wait,
I'm so old.
I'm just thinking about this though. Like, they had wireless remotes in like the Mad Men era. How come we had a VCR? And again, it was a Quasar, but why, quality brand Quasar, why did it have a wired remote?
I don't know, but my grandparents had a Betamax into like the 90s, and it had a wired remote. But, well, that was the one that we
What did they watch on it?
No, there was one last video store. There was one last video store in Mississauga that still rented Betas, and that was the one store we could go to.
Beta.
Anyway, Rags to Riches. So, I only saw a couple of episodes, so it was easy to think that it might have just been a dream. I had, and here's why I might have thought that. So here's the Wikipedia plot synopsis. Get comfy. Nick Foley.
Isn't that a wrestler or something?
Mick Foley.
Oh, okay.
This is Nick. All right. The millionaire owner of Foley's Frozen Foods is a streetwise New Jersey-born businessman with a playboy lifestyle. In the TV movie pilot, which launched the series, Foley attempts to develop a family man image by bringing a group of six orphaned girls who were featured in a newspaper story that they refused to be separated from each other to live in his mansion in Bel Air, where he lives with his butler, John Clapper. He does this to help seal a business deal and does not intend to keep them there permanently, but his plans change when he grows fond of the girls and he ends up adopting them. So I'll skip ahead. He's never been a parent. He's, you know, single, like we said. Blah,
so
blah.
It's Despicable Me, kind of, so far.
Sort of. They've been in a shitty home for the last while now. They're in the lap of luxury. So the girls are, initially there's six, I guess, in the TV movie. And then after it went to series, they were like, and the sixth one went and found her birth mother by, like, they just wrote her out. Okay. So Rose is 17. Oh shit. Hit the button. Okay. Rose 17, Diane 16, Marva 15, Patty 14, and Mickey 8. And so the series differed from regular comedy dramas in that the cast would frequently burst into song to help explain their feelings or move along the plot. I doubt that last part. Each episode therefore contained at least two music videos, most of them covers of hit songs from the 1960s, with the lyrics changed to provide commentary on the storyline of the episode. And so that's the end of the plot synopsis.
Wow.
If you liked Annie, you'll love Rags to Riches was the tagline, I guess on the assumption that it was Annie times six, or actually, wait, make that five. But the reason Annie worked in as much as it did is because during the Depression, an orphan was probably so grateful to be taken in that if the single adult man who adopted her turned out to be a pedophile, which, let's be real, he almost certainly was, well, that's just the cost of doing business. But this show was set in 1961, and it aired in the late 80s, so one assumes that at least the older girls might have been sketched out by the situation. Like, the oldest one is 17. Anyway, I assume the audience was, because it got canceled in the middle of its second season. But just to recap, this is a show about a rich single man who thinks it will help his image to adopt, air quotes, a passel of almost barely legal teenage girls of various ethnicities.
This sounds like the story of a man and his failed harem.
It really does.
Rags and to rev cam.
Totally. Oh, and the four girls are beautiful. And then the youngest one, the 8-year-old, is like really weird looking. Anyway, so the cast is Joseph Bologna is Nick, the poor man's Frank Langella.
It's pronounced Bologna.
Okay, sorry. And the most famous of the girls was Tisha Campbell, who went on to be on Martin. And then Kimiko Gelman was one of the other ones, and she's a working character actor. She played a Secret Service agent on The West Wing, and she was in The Hunger Games and stuff, and all the rest are whatever. But the guest cast included Candy Alexander as a member of a girl group, Bill Maher,
awesome.
David Paymer, John Bennett Perry, which is Matthew Perry's dad, Nicholas Pryor, the chancellor from 90210, Alex Rocco and Sarah, both Richard Grieco and Danny Bonaducci, hopefully amazing. Not in the same episode.
Oh.
So Wyatt's in TV jail. I mean, this is one where it seems like just based on the description, it has to be because of the music rights. If they were like real hot hits of the 60s, they probably couldn't clear them. But yeah, I don't, and it, you can get it on DVD, but like we said, who buys DVDs? And now that I've come this far, I might buy it because I'm so curious to see how weird it is.
Yeah.
But I assume it hasn't made it to any streaming service due to music rights since, you know, it was a musical.
Well, Tara, I think if you buy them on DVD, you would have to write for it on the site because this sounds amazingly terrible.
It does.
So at least it's a write-off.
Okay, well, maybe. I mean, if you're clamoring for me to do that, I guess I could probably find my
clamor.
Way.
Clamor.
The clamor.
All right, so my recommendation is, I hate to think of anyone other than me apparently spending good American money on this show just to see how weird it was. I think it should hop onto Hulu since it was an NBC show, or Bravo should start airing in the middle of the night because why not if they're going to show Real Housewives of Melbourne at noon. I don't know why they couldn't chuck up a Rags to Riches too.
Yeah, they put like musical movies on sometimes. Like they had the rights to Grease 2 for a while, which I watched again. Not going to lie.
I mean, or Ovation is showing Smash. I mean, I'm sure this is not that much worse than Smash. It's probably much worse than Smash. But yeah, have either of you heard of that show before today?
It does sound vaguely familiar, but
yeah, it sounds scary.
It sounds insane.
Yeah,
it's a crazy premise for a show. But anyway,
all right, I think you should do it. All right, okay. Yeah, go order it, and you can spend your 1 month of downtime
yes,
watching
work release.
It. Yeah. All right, everybody. So. Parole Board has heard about Thunder the Barbarian, ER, MathNet, Just Like Mom, 30-something, and Rags to Riches, which I think is the most bizarre one we heard today. So we'll get working on that, and we'll see you next week.